up? Welcome back to Ministry of the Body, everybody. That's right. If you guys are here for the first time, thank you so much for joining our channel. My name is Lox.
And my name is Tato.
And welcome to the channel. So last week, we ended off the video with a verse that we asked you guys to all just meditate on during the week or whenever you have time to do that. And that was from Matthew chapter 6, from verse 16 all the way to 24. Right? So today, we're going to go through the first two topics in Matthew chapter 6. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be talking from verse 16 all the way to verse 21. It reads as follows in the ESV. It says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So the topic is not necessarily about fasting today. That's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But it has something to do with the focus of your life. We touched a lot on that in the previous video, especially when we started speaking about the state of your heart.
Yeah.
And in this video today, we want to go a bit deeper into that topic. And we want to talk about some of the things that our heart is so focused on.
Mm.
And in this verse 16, we can see that the main focus of the person or the hypocrites that Jesus is talking about is people.
Yes.
So that others may see them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when you're talking about this topic, man, one thing comes to mind. I know you guys have experienced this at least once in your life, man. Have you ever went to a competition, right? You're so excited. You're like, "Hey, man, we're going to compete. You're going to compete. We're going to win." And then you make the mistake of asking what the prize is, right? And when you hear what the prize is, they tell you that the prize is bragging rights.
Hey, man. Yeah. Like, might as well go home, man.
Like, why am I here? If the prize is just bragging rights, why am I here? That's how I feel, at least.
No, 100%, because let's think about it, bro. Sometimes, like, there may be a competition, and the competition says, "No, you have to compete and do this. You guys must send in your best song," or whatever, ne? And then they say the prize, and the prize is like something really good.
Yeah.
Even me, my shy self, might even enter. I consider it. I'm like, "Yeah, but yeah, I might get in, hey?
Yeah.
Hey, this prize is really calling me, man. It really is." But to say then, bragging rights. I wouldn't even try.
Let's respect each other.
No,
I can't eat bragging rights, unfortunately.
No, we can't. We can't feed on bragging rights.
I can't eat
bragging rights. After I win the competition, I must go home back to possibly what is nothing in the fridge.
And you find I'm the same way I got there.
The same, bruh. The same way you go to the competition. In fact, you leave tired. Because you put in effort, but you leave with what they say is bragging rights. They clap hands for you and you go away. And that's it.
Everyone says, "Yeah, you won, bruh." Shots.
And you know what the sad thing is? That Jesus Christ in this verse is literally talking about the exact same thing. That some of us, we try to show, you know, how great we are spiritually and things like that from a point of pride, you know, so that we can brag. But Jesus Christ is saying that for all your hard work in doing those things, you got bragging rights. Your reward was bragging rights. People saw you and said, "That is a man of God. That is a woman of God."
And that time you truffled yourself like serious.
Serious.
Like you, bruh, the amount of effort you put in only to find out that
that is your reward. Is the end of your
that's
reward.
That's it.
That is the full extent of your reward. Because behind that was the pride and the fact that you wanted to be seen by people. Because the thing that you find important in your life is people. You understand? Then Jesus now juxtaposes this
that's
picture.
English. What does,
yeah, juxtapose.
What
that is English. Mean? Yeah. You know what? Juxtaposes when you put two things together, usually making a contrast or an opposite to each other.
Okay, now I'm following.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. So now Jesus now contrasts this picture that he draws to a person who says, he says, "Now go and do this in secret." Where your Father is, who is in secret. Basically, what Jesus is saying is that let the person who sees your work be God.
Your effort
be God first. Yeah. God is the one who is in charge of putting us out there. Mm. He will tell you to go out there. You know what I mean? So, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't let people see our works. No. It's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is, it mustn't be people that you're trying to impress. Like we said in the previous video, are you doing it for people or are you doing it for God?
Mm.
You understand? Because if you're doing it for people, then when they don't clap hands for you and they're not impressed, then you're heartbroken and you don't want to work for God anymore.
Mm, exactly.
But when you do it for God, who is the one who will reward you openly, in some verses as it puts it, God will truly, truly, truly bless you for the work that you are doing because he knows that your heart is for him specifically.
Mm, what that's making me think about is how futile it is to put so much effort in things that are purely just for yourself or for people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just thinking that it's just like the competition where they say all you get is bragging rights. I mean, even thinking about it makes me sad. Like, like the amount of effort waking up every morning, what happened? You brush your teeth.
You rush. You drive like a maniac sometimes to go and get very quickly to the place where you need to be so that you can be appreciated by people.
And that, and what this verse is saying is that's it. That's all you're going to get.
That's all you ever get. Appreciation. Yeah. It's a hand clap from people.
A handshake.
Which is very scary. Because Mina, I want to get to heaven.
I do.
And be part of the award ceremony that they're going to do for all the saints. You understand?
You know how I imagine it?
Yeah.
It's like, you know how the Grammys is?
Sure.
Everyone is coming through. Mm-hmm. There's a line.
Okay.
Nah. Obviously, there are those who pushed for God and there are those who, you know,
they didn't really do it for God.
Didn't really do it for God.
But they have salvation.
But you've got salvation. So, hey, man, shout outs to you.
You made it in, though.
You made it, though. All right. So now they're saying, okay, can we have two lines? Obviously, you know which line is for who.
Yeah. So one line, let it be for those who are receiving awards.
Uh-huh.
The other one, may it be for spectators.
No, they just say, guys, spectators, we thank you guys. You've made it. Congratulations.
We are so happy to have you.
We're so happy to have you. Please go sit over there in the grandstands.
Mm. The seats are very comfortable, though.
Yes. Mm. So you're just going to sit there and until the procession is done and then we can all go in.
Well, now, miracle wow is to clap hands for the others who are receiving awards and get. Uh-huh.
No jealous.
Plus, we're in heaven, there's no jealous anymore. So, you want to clap hands.
Mm. And when you say standing ovation, we say standing ovation.
Uh-huh. So, you want to clap hands with excitement, with exhilaration.
Hey, with zeal.
Well, I want. Mina, to be honest, bro, I want to chop a better suit, all white, shining with the glory. You understand? Then when they call my name, Angry Jesus says, you're going to get a new name. Mm. Pumpy, check out that name. But wow.
Eh? Then they say, stand over shit. Then everyone must stand.
Must stand. Clap hands. You know? Because what? you did the things. So people didn't see. They'll even be shocked. But Tato, is this you? You're getting an award.
Then
we were just seeing you humbling yourself, not too much. List staging, we don't necessarily see you. Can't you work in this hard?
Can't you push it?
You
just see me pulling in a King Amania.
I don't know.
Whatever it's called in Jesus' name.
Maybe it's mana.
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 Just see.
Tell you that. Mina, I want that for myself, you understand? So. The only way to get that, the only way to receive this heavenly treasures, the heavenly blessings that Jesus talks about, or the heavenly rewards that Jesus talks about, is to humble ourselves and that everything that we do needs to be done for the Father. And I'll put it again. I'll read it again as the verse puts it. It's very powerful. It says, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret.
Mm.
See, not by others, but by your Father who is in secret.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? There was a part where he was even talking about when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites who go out so that they can be seen by everyone. You understand?
Yeah, also for me, I think it also applies to a lot of the goals that I have in my life as well.
Mm.
Like, you find that sharp, you wanna own businesses, you wanna do this, you wanna do that. But if those things that you wanna do or achieve are purely just so that people can say, you're such a dope guy. Or,
yo, I'm funny, you have the best car.
Oh, you have the best car.
You smell with the best fragrance.
Yeah.
And that's it.
If you're saying that, for people saying that, and that's it, and that's all I get, then do I really want those things?
Do you understand?
That's my question.
I want all the things that God blesses me with to end up doing the work of God for the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
You understand? Some of you guys who said, God, take all of me, you must understand what that means.
Yeah.
It means that all the blessings and the riches that he will give you here on earth should in end start doing work for his kingdom as well.
And you know what that brings us to?
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to go into it now. There's that verse where they said the Levites.
Or the allotment.
The allotment.
Oh, yes. We can go into that, actually.
Yes.
And it actually relates with the next verse we're going to read in Matthew chapter 6.
Yeah.
And now it's from verse 14. Verse 14 says, do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Mm.
And that brings us to that story of the Levites.
Yeah. Not gonna lie. And me, kairata or Lamborghini Urus.
Yeah. That's Tato's favorite car.
That's my favorite car in the entire world. God knows that. Me and him have an arrangement, but it's fine. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that, yes, Lamborghini is nice, but at the end of the day, it gets damaged, it rusts, and
it can get stolen.
It can get stolen at any time, bro.
At any time.
You see, and now if my heart is there, it means someone can take my heart.
Yeah,
literally. You have that type of access to it.
If your heart is in Lamborghini Urus and someone drives off with it, they're driving with your heart as well, you'll die.
I'll
collapse on the floor. You understand?
Yeah.
And with that verse that you brought about the Levites.
Yeah.
I think in the book of Exodus, when God was still talking about telling Moses about how he must split up the land in the promised land, that this tribe will get this land, this tribe will get that land. He said, tell the Levites that their inheritance won't necessarily be, and I'm paraphrasing, will be the land that they will own. No. When they didn't receive ownership of land, even though they were given land to live in, they were not given ownership that they can give to their children's children.
Mm.
God said that your inheritance will be me. I will be your allotment. I was like,
other people are collecting land.
I said, God.
Expropriation left, right.
They're getting land, bro. Me, you say, so I asked myself, so Shem, I thought Shem, poor Levites. When I was reading it the first time, I thought Shem, poor Levites.
Mm.
Then I started seeing this thing, man, pop up more in the Bible. Even in the book of Psalms, David speaks on something very similar. He says that in Psalms chapter 16, verse 5, he says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. And I was thinking to myself, man. So why is it, like, because I saw this thing happen a lot or be spoken of a lot. And I was like, God, why is it that everyone is so happy with you being their inheritance? You don't understand? Because and then I started learning more about God and having a closer relationship with him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, because God is the connection to everything.
Everything.
God is the one who opens the doors in life for whatever it is that I need to do and have in my life.
Bro, that's the entire God of the
universe. Bro. And I'm like, wait.
I inherit that.
I inherit the God who created all things. You know what, bro? Keep those things, keep bro. The land, I will take that.
I'll take God any day. And if they give me the land, I'll say, you know what, bro?
No, keep it.
Keep it. Give me God.
Give me God. You know, and someone asked me a very deep question one day, like I think maybe 2 years ago. And they asked me that, if you had to get everything you ever wanted on this world, in this planet.
Mm.
Like I said, on this planet, world, in this world, planet. Right? Yeah. Everything you ever desired.
Oh.
And you can have them even the next day. You can even add more. Whatever you think of, you can even add. But you have all those things, but in exchange of not having God in your life anymore.
Mm.
At the first time that I was asked this question, it was tough to answer.
Mm.
But today I can safely say that, bro, knowing the God in my life, because I know God more now, you understand?
And you know who he is.
And I know who he is in my life, that for me to wake up and stretch and yawn and leave my house is God.
That's God.
For me to get into my car and drive on the N1 every single day where I know there's no month where I don't see accidents. For me not to be part of those accidents takes God.
It has to be, bro.
It has to be God. For me not to die of a stroke or have like something, I just fall down and it's God, bro.
It's God, bro.
God is the one who wants me to be alive for something, so for some purpose. So you
need to understand that that's what you'd be trading.
That's what I'll be trading away. So even if I have those millions, by the time I can even buy bread with the first million.
With the first rent. I
could probably even die because the devil will be waiting for me. Like Edge.
Like Edge, you know, he waits like this.
to
shy with a spear.
With a spear. Suplex. Bro. You understand? Yeah. Like the devil's just waiting. The fact that, bro, all of you guys should understand, guys, that for you guys to love God the way you do is a danger to Satan and his kingdom of darkness.
He's not impressed.
He's not impressed with that.
He's not impressed with that.
So if he could do anything, the best he could do is to kill you and take your life. But the fact that you are still alive today is because God is keeping you alive for a reason. You understand? 100%. The protection comes from God, bro. Mm. So for me to say that, nah, no more, I'll take the money. You know what I'm saying? Cannot be me, bro. So God is way too important to me for me to just trade him and say, no, I don't want him anymore. I just understand that I can't live my life. I can't breathe. Bro, there are times where I'll sleep at night, nah, and I can feel that the way I'm sleeping, the pillows is blocking my airwaves and I'm struggling to breathe.
Mm.
But I know for a fact that it would be God who wakes me up, dog, literally, so I can adjust myself. 100%. There are nights where I'm like, I'm dying in my dream. I'm like, why can't I breathe? And it'd be God who would just nudge me. Bro, there were times where I'd feel literally a hand wake me up. When I look, I see you there across the room, you're sleeping. I'm like, hi? Hey?
Yeah, I'm gone.
Such a gentle hand just wake me up. Because God can see that I'm not okay.
Hey.
I'm struggling.
That's what you'd be
trading. That was that. Hey, man, that's you know crazy. What, bro? God, you are my inheritance. Hey, you understand?
Give me God, bro.
Give me God, bro. You
but
understand?
Also another point on that, on the Levites in inheriting, not inheriting anything, instead inheriting God.
Mm-hmm.
For me, how I also look at it is that everything I have should not be mine, and even anything I attain is not mine, but rather it's for the glory of God.
100%. So, yes, you want that nice euros.
Yes.
But you understand that if God gives you the euros and says, give it back to me.
I'll give it back.
God
anything.
Gives and God takes. That's what Job said, right?
That's what Job
was
said.
Was it Job or was it Abraham? We'll go and check.
Whoever said it. But they said, God gives and he also takes.
You understand?
So, at any point, he can say, take this euros and go give Zbanban. Mm-hmm. And I must go do it.
Exactly.
Even though I love it that much.
100%.
But because I understand already that thing. I only have it because God gave me, and technically it's not mine.
Uh-huh.
I have to do it.
Uh-huh. So I think sometimes we find ourselves futilely feeling like our attachment to certain material things makes us feel like better.
Oh, tickle.
Wow. So, Mina, I did not understand what the Levites understood on that day. You understand?
And I hope they understood too.
I'm sure they did because I didn't hear them complaining. But I mean, I didn't understand that when God said that I will be your allotment, I will be your inheritance, what they were actually receiving. Ooh,
the entire understand? God is my inheritance.
It reminds me of God. The story of the prodigal son.
Mm.
If you remember the story of the prodigal son, obviously, okay, so for those of you guys who are not familiar with the story, I'll try and summarize it very quickly. So, The story of the prodigal son, Jesus was telling a parable to people. I'm not sure if he was telling to his disciples or to people in general, but Jesus was giving a parable. And this was about the prodigal son. So there was a son who lived in a house with his father. He had a brother also. And one day he said to his father that, look, father, you're a rich man. And I mean, I see everything is good here.
Mm.
But you know what? I would like my share of my inheritance so that I can go and do things myself.
Go do my thing. Right?
I understand. Yeah. So the father gave him, you know, his share of his inheritance.
Mm.
And this prodigal son went and he squandered it.
He chowed the whole thing. He
finished all that money. You understand? So the Bible says he squandered it through reckless living. You know, so now he lost everything and there was a famine. Now he could not take care of himself such that he had to go and job hunt there somewhere far away. And he found a guy who had pigs. So he decided that he's going to tend to the pigs, right? Mm. So now things were horribly bad, bro. He was down bad such that he saw the food that the pigs were eating and to him it looked like something that he can partake in. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It was bad, that bad. Yeah. But then at some point he realized that, I have a father. I have a father. You know what? I will go home and ask my father for forgiveness. Maybe he might take me even as a servant because the servants
they're eating better than me here.
So rather, let me go and just be like the servants outside at home.
At least I'm chowing better than now.
Exactly, understand?
Yeah.
So now he decided that he's going to go home, okay? So when he goes home, the father saw him from a long way out and then he went to go meet him and then the father put on new robes on him and reinstated him, gave him a ring. Everything was back to normal. And then the father even said, go and get the fattened calf and let's go and cook this thing. We're going to celebrate and eat out on my son. My son is back.
Yeah.
I understand. My son was lost, now he's found. Now the brother on the other side is watching all of this happen, all of this unfold. Mm. And he's like, Eva.
Yeah, he's definitely not impressed.
He's not impressed because this guy took his share, went, wasted it. Now the father receives it. And then,
on top of that,
up, you know, when the tabakhom is for weddings,
nice
things.
It's a mukete, make it bro.
So
but
now,
this bro ran away, but left, took his money and went and chowed it. He finished it. Now his back is hungry. And you killed the fattest cow.
For him. So now that son is what if Allah know. And he's looking at this situation and is realizing this situation is not the one.
Yeah.
No ways. So the father can see that the son is not happy.
Mm.
The one who was at home.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So the father says, what's going on? The son now replies to the father. He says, no, listen. This son of yours went and squandered your money.
Mm.
He comes back. You receive him well. And you even slaughter a cow for him. Mm. Whereas Linna, I've never even asked for one goat.
Mm.
You see, that was where the problem was. Because guess what the father says to the son?
Mm.
He says, you have been with me here.
Mm.
You know? Mm. And for as long as you are with me, everything that I have is yours.
Mm.
You understand? You understand that the father saying to this son that because you have always been with me in my house, everything that is mine belongs to you as well.
So he should have understood that there are many more where that one calf came from.
Yeah, I understand. If he knew that by the fact of being with his father and everything belongs to him, his father is his inheritance.
Literally.
Because he's inheriting everything that his father has because he's still with his father.
Yeah.
That he won't even be upset that one cow is going because he has 1,000 more.
Yes, many more that came from. You can't understand? Be touched about one cow.
You understand? Yeah. I think it's easy to even be more generous and more giving
when we
understand the abundance that we have in God.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
100%.
So now I realize that because God says that He is my allotment, He is my inheritance. I inherit God.
Mm.
I receive Him.
Mm.
It means I receive everything that He has.
Exactly.
Do you understand? So I will not walk around living my life as if I don't have anything.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying?
And hoarding so many things.
Hoarding things of the world.
Yeah.
Making the world my treasure when I realize that the treasure that I have is
much,
eternal.
Yeah, much
it will never die.
That.
It's God Himself. Exactly. Do you understand? If you realize your lack in not having God, you're going to go and seek God. Do you understand?
Yes.
But sometimes we are so surrounded by things in terms of material stuff that we forget that we're actually lacking.
Mm.
Do you understand? That's why Jesus said that it's hard for a rich man to make it into heaven.
Mm.
In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to make it into the kingdom of heaven.
Because a rich man has to part ways with so much in his heart.
Rich people sometimes don't realize the lack that they have spiritually because of the many things that they have physically.
Yes.
And life is largely lived physically. And I'm not saying rich people do. I'm not saying it's all rich people. I'm just giving an example from what Jesus is saying. You understand? Rich people watching, because I know there are rich people watching.
And you know, we're going to be there one day.
Do you understand?
But the point is, right? The point is, your heart shouldn't be fixated on those things. It should be very easy for you to part ways, which is what should happen.
Yeah.
You should be helping the people closest to you, the poor, the what-whats. Yeah. So it means that your heart must find it very easy to part ways with things that belong to you.
Have to, it's the same thing with Abraham having to potentially part ways with Isaac.
Exactly.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Daddy, God proved to Abraham himself that you love me more than you love the thing that I can give you.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yes.
So Abraham's treasure was not necessarily in the promise that God gave.
Yes.
But it was in the person who's promising, the person who creates all things.
Yes.
And essentially speaking, what we're trying to say at the end of the day is that our treasure should not be in things that are finite.
Yes.
It should be in the everlasting thing. So when things go away from you, if a car drives away, your heart is not in that car.
It's not.
So they're not driving away with the car. I mean, this story of the prodigal son reminds me that I need to take cognizance of the fact that I have an inheritance from God.
Yes.
And my heart now needs to be in God. Fixing because now imagine this God, prodigal, yes. I mean, not the prodigal son, the brother.
Yes.
Now that the father said that everything that I have is yours, I'm sure the son is like, nah, you know what? Let me go and explore what else my father has.
You know?
I'm going to go and see all his land, all his resources, cattle, everything.
Because now you're thinking, what else do I have?
What else do I? What let else do see. I? Now his heart is going to be in the right place. Now.
Exactly.
Now he's seeking more of the kingdom.
Yeah, he's seeking
more. Do you
more,
understand?
Yeah.
Because now he found out that in God there's something. In the Father there's something.
Yeah.
So now he's seeking the kingdom because he realizes that, wait, how much more is there to this? Because this means that I have much more.
And what makes him able to be able to give the way he does? So you want to find out I want to find out more. What makes you so secure?
Yeah, you understand?
Quick example. Amen. People who are as fortunate as I am, you know, for your hard labors throughout the month, at the end of the month, you know, a little notification comes in. And that notification, I don't know if you like me, amen, that notification has the power to make my day. Literally. Comes in the morning. I know. Usually, NetBank, it comes the day later. Everyone gets it before me. So me, God is teaching me patience. I have to wait an extra day for it to come in. But when it comes in, that feeling.
It is a good feeling.
It's rejuvenating.
It reminds me of a video I saw of a man. He was dancing in front of the ATM because he knew that when he puts the card inside the ATM, he's going to be very happy.
Very happy.
But you saw his happiness.
Yes.
He was filled with so much happiness because he knew what was inside the ATM. Mm. But if we look into reality,
it's just showing you numbers.
Just showing you numbers. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Now the issue is, let's say with that joy, dancing by the ATM, you put your card in, and somehow that machine makes a mistake and writes negative 1 million. Your heart can stop.
No, I'll faint.
Your heart can stop right there. Just because of what numbers are showing you. You understand?
I'm also thinking if they made a mistake with HR and they left a zero out.
Hey.
On my notification,
I'm telling
you, I'm seeing a missing zero.
You will not enjoy your weekend until you call all the staff.
No,
to find out what's happened. There's no weekend.
No, they must come and explain what's happening.
You'll be calling people at wrong hours, trying to figure. So now you see that just numbers can even change your health. You can even become sick seeing what you're seeing there on that ATM screen.
Mm.
Do you understand? So if these things have the power to even change your physical health, how much of our hands are we putting into those things?
A ton.
Do you get what I'm saying?
A ton.
Now, if we could flip the whole thing and put the same amount of heart into Dilajamudim, God himself, where he says, in me is living waters, is life. It means that we'll never ever come to a point where there might be a mistake. Yeah. You see, God says he's not a man to lie.
Yeah,
so God pranked what?
Yeah,
you see, if God pranked one person in the Bible and it was written there that God pranked someone, we would find it very hard to trust in God. Because we'll think, hey, God, this one must be a prank.
Me?
You understand? When you see something good looming in your life, you'll say, hey, but this one might be a prank. This one
could be a prank.
See, so God
doesn't prank.
You see, God understands that he's a God. So he can't do some of. I mean, I think God does have humor, but I don't think he'll play a joke on you and say, I was joking.
No,
not today. Do you understand?
No. Yeah.
So now, because we know that God is he doesn't cast a shifting shadow. He says he is what he says he is. He is who he says he is. Do you understand?
So I'm confident enough. I can put my heart by him.
That if there was a heavenly bank account, your numbers will never change. They'll keep increasing.
Yeah.
You understand? There will never be. But what do they normally say? Roman affairs, they say there's a what not
system is down. System is down. Mudimu ID system it's down.
No, God doesn't have system it's down. So I would rather put everything, my fullness from my heart in God, bro, because I know that God will never disappoint me that way. Until today, I've never been disappointed by God ever in my life.
Me neither.
So Mina, I will take up treasures in heaven. Instead of the treasures on earth. I'll feel like these are nice to have.
These are nice
but
to have.
If but if everything was taken away from me today.
I'm
still good because I have the person who created all things.
And I will still continue to cook.
And regardless. You understand? And even if he doesn't bring those things back in my life, I'm still fine.
We cook regardless.
Because my life is still fulfilled in the God of heaven, because where I'm going is going to be nice.
When they announcing the Rolls Royce, the heavenly in heaven, Rolls Royce.
The chariots. Do you understand? Happy, do you understand?
I know I'm in that line. I'm so happy we're saying this now while I'm relatively broke. I'm telling you now that these worldly things, they don't matter. So that when I'm balling, billionaire, and I tell you the same thing, you don't say, nah, but it's so easy for you to say because you're rich, you have everything. I have nothing now. And I'm telling you, these things don't matter.
Thank you. So otherwise, guys, thank you so much for watching this video today. Let us know what you guys feel in your heart to say about these things. I think what we're talking about, even though we made it a bit lighthearted, is a very serious topic. Us being tethered to things of the world can be the one thing that the devil can use to devour us, to kill us, to destroy our lives. Do you understand? A lot of us have been in points where we almost followed worldly things into our deaths. Do you understand? So I think it is important that we take this thing very seriously. Yeah, and go and seek God and ask him to change your heart so that whatever treasures you have taken up on earth. Because remember, the Bible says that anything you obey is your master. You understand?
Yes.
So that thing has become your God, your idol. So it dictates everything you do. No hate on Forex people, but because certain people do Forex, they have to wake up midnight to watch graphs go up and down.
Yeah, 100%.
So it means that I wake up early in the morning because of something.
Yes.
And others say I wake up early in the morning because I'm praying to God.
Yes.
And that has it's different outcomes at the end of the day. So we need to choose wisely who we are going to allow to be the master of our lives in this life that we're living today. So remember that your body is a ministry, and everything that we do needs to be done with a heart that is solely for God. You understand? And remember that this ministry, people are looking at you and trying to find a little bit of goodness in this world, because some people, all they see is just evil, bad things. But now, with how you live and how you conduct yourself, people can see and ask yourself, now, how, I mean, you don't really have much, but how is it that you're still happy and so peaceful? It's because you have more than any rich man could ever have in this world.
Yes.
You have God, the creator and the maker of the universe.
Exactly.
And you have everything that he has because he is your inheritance. So what is your body saying to us?